Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Kedoshim. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Kedoshim. There is a handout for this podcast. We're sending it as the next episode, so please view it and print it out and use it to follow along with Rabbi Meir Schweiger. Rabbi Schweiger is a senior member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Kedoshim. In previous podcasts, I have discussed how the book of Leviticus, the book of Vayikra, is referred to as Torat Kohanim, the book of priests. And the simple way of understanding it is because the bulk of the book deals with the tabernacle, with the laws of the priests, sacrifices, ritual purity and impurity. But in fact, there is a deeper level to this definition of the book, based on a verse in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. When the Jewish people are poised at Sinai, before they receive the Torah, God says to Moses that the Jewish people shall be a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The Jewish people are to be the kohanim, the priests of the world. We are to set a certain standard, be role models for the world. How? By being a goy kadosh, by being a holy people, a people that is distinct. Our parsha, Parshat Kedoshim, is the parsha of holiness. How we create a holy society. What is it that sets us apart from everyone else? And in fact, what characterizes our parsha are the very mundane sets of laws that have to do with interpersonal relations. This is the core of our holiness. And in that context, I want to look at one such law, which is the law, the prohibition of not saying evil speech, Lashon Hara. In chapter 11 of the book of Leviticus, we are given the laws of kashrut, which animals we're allowed to eat, which fish we're allowed to eat. And in that context, we are told that we need to separate between what is pure and what is impure. And we are also told in chapter 11, verse 45, and you shall be holy because I am holy. Similarly, in verse 44, and make yourself holy and be holy because I am holy. In that context, our holiness is associated with what goes into our mouth. But I think it is much easier to be careful about what goes into your mouth than to be strict about what goes out of your mouth. And therefore, I think that what is discussed in our parsha is a whole other level of holiness. So let us now examine this in a little bit more detail. Chapter 19, verse 16. The Torah says, Lo telech rachil ba'amecha, lo tamor al dam reyecha, ani Adonai. Do not go rachil among your people. Do not stand by at the blood of your fellow. I am Hashem. What does the word rachil mean? If you look at the first reference on the attached source sheet, it is from the Sifra, the Midrash Halacha in the book of Leviticus. And the Sifra says, what does it mean, do not go rachil, which I translated as do not gossip among your people. So they say, do not be as a peddler. The word for peddler in Hebrew is rochel, who loads up his words and goes. Rashi, in his commentary, elaborates on this. And Rashi says that the word rochel, rachil, is related to the word regel. The chaf and the gimel interchange, related to the word regel, which means foot. Because a peddler goes on foot. A peddler goes from place to place. He loads up his wares in one place, sells them in another place. And hence Rashi says that this is the way of somebody who is a rochel or rachil, one who gossips. And he also inserts another etymological connection. The word regel is also related to the word miragel, spy. Liragel, to spy out. And he said this is the way of people who gossip. They basically go to their friends' homes to spy out, to see evil, to hear evil, which they can then tell in the marketplace. Let us look at Maimonides, reference number 3, from Hilchot Deot, the Laws of Attributes, chapter 7. And we will look at Halacha 2. He says, what is a gossip? And here he's really referring to what our pasuk, our verse, is prohibiting. One who loads up words and goes from one to the other and says, this is what so-and-so said. This is what I have heard about so-and-so. And then Maimonides adds, even if what he says is true, he is destroying the world. Two things which come up here. Maimonides emphasizes we're not talking about telling lies. The verses prohibited people who are telling truth, facts. But he says that something like this destroys the world. The Ibn Ezra, the classic medieval commentary on our verse, notes the problem of why is there a juxtaposition between do not go rachil with the continuation of the verse, where it says, do not stand by the blood of your fellow. And the Ibn Ezra says, do not stand by the blood of your fellow, do not join up, join the company of men of blood. For it is known that many were killed as a result of slander. And then he refers to a story of Doeg Ha'adomi. And in fact, if I go back to that same reference in Maimonides, Halacha 1, Maimonides says, one who spies out his friend transgresses a prohibition, as it is said, do not go around gossiping among your people. Although there are no lashes for this matter, it is a grave sin which can cause the death of many people in Israel. Therefore, it is juxtaposed to do not stand by the blood of your brother. Go and learn what happened to Doeg the Edomite. Note the fact that in this halacha of the Rambam, he basically incorporates two statements which we mentioned earlier, Rashi and the Ibn Ezra. He speaks about spying out, which is what we saw in Rashi. And he also speaks about how gossiping is a grave sin which can cause the death of many people, as we see in the story of Doeg. I will not go into the story. You have the reference from Samuel 1. But I will just mention one point. King Saul was paranoid about David usurping the monarchy from him. Rather than seeing David as his loyal general, he saw him as the opposition, as the usurper. And at a number of times in his life, he went out seeking to kill David. And at one point, David is on the run, seeks refuge in a city called Nov. Nov, the city of priests. He is given food. He is given a weapon. At no point does this city see David as the enemy of Saul. They see him as Saul's trusted servant. And even when they are somewhat alarmed, startled by him coming alone, David allays their concern by saying he's on a secret mission. Whatever assistance they gave to David is done in good faith. And yet what ends up happening is that this city is utterly destroyed. When Doeg the Edomite, in an attempt to ingratiate himself to Saul, says that he saw the people there assisting David. Perhaps it is worth noting that Doeg the Edomite did not lie. He told the truth. The problem is twofold. Number one, he told a half-truth. He didn't tell the whole story. He didn't speak about how the people of Nov were acting in good faith. And number two, telling that to Saul should have clearly sounded alarm bells. And it was clear, or it should have been clear, what would have been the reaction. Note the fact that Doeg was actually the driving force in ultimately killing these people as well. Perhaps this is a good point to mention. This idea of gossiping, speaking, which can lead to bloodshed, raises a fundamental issue nowadays in terms of the media, whether it be newspapers and certainly television and even more so internet. To what extent is it that there are many things which are publicized in the name of freedom of speech, which in the end have devastating results? And perhaps we are more and more aware of what is happening now, a growing phenomenon on the internet, among children, youth, who write all kinds of things on Facebook about fellow classmates, which in the end lead to disastrous results, suicide, abuse, and the classic response of, but what did I do? I only said something. I didn't do anything. Perhaps illustrates the power of speech, the devastating power of speech. Not to mention what happens in all kinds of propaganda literature. And we, especially as the Jewish people, are all too aware of how propaganda delegitimization has led, unfortunately, to many, many people being killed. And yes, it is not necessarily a lie. It is telling the truth, but a half-truth, and a half-truth which is taken out of context. It is interesting that the Rambam sees the R verse as being what you would call the elemental level of evil speech, where I simply load up information, transmit information, tell the truth. If we go back to the reference in Maimonides, number 3, subsection 2, if we look at the fifth line, he says there is an even greater sin than this, and that is lashon hara, speaking disparagingly about someone, even if it is true. Which means that according to Maimonides, there is one thing about telling the truth, and telling the truth, saying something which is actually neutral. But then there's another level, which is saying the truth, but where it is clearly disparaging, it is negative. And that's called lashon hara, evil speech. Evil speech is where I say something true, but clearly negative about someone. But then there's a third level. And the third level is called motzi shem ra. Motzi shem ra is where I make up lies. And then there is the fourth level, which the Rambam calls the master of lashon hara. And he says, what is the master of lashon hara? One who sits and says, thus did so and so, thus were his ancestors, thus I have heard. Which means it is not just a one-time passing phenomena, but perhaps the raison d'etre of that individual. If we look at what the Rambam describes, we could see a very real slippery slope of how one begins by simply saying things which are innocent, neutral, and does it not on a regular basis. But then we come to the next part. From saying innocent things, people then proceed to say negative things. From saying things that are true, people then proceed and exaggerate, fabricate. And then what ends up happening is this becomes a state of being, where I spend my whole time doing this. It is very interesting that in the second reference, which is a passage from the Talmud, which speaks about lashon hara, evil speech. So at one point it says, what is the solution? What is the remedy for evil speech? The corrective. If you look at reference 2, this is 9 lines from the bottom of the page. Rav Chama Bar Chanina said, what is the corrective for those who speak Lashon Hara? For a scholar, let him study Torah. As it is said, the healing for the tongue is the tree of life. And if he is ignorant, let him be humble. Why do people speak Lashon Hara? I always ask myself this question. And very often I think it is much easier to speak about people than it is to speak about words of content. And in fact, what the Talmud is basically saying, if someone is speaking words of Torah, if someone is dealing with larger issues, then they don't have time to speak about other people. They don't have the need to speak about other people. And therefore, perhaps it isn't just don't do this, it is what do you actively do? Let me focus on what I can actively do. How can I use my speech to be something which is elevating rather than degrading? And then it's interesting, but what if you're somebody who doesn't know how to learn Torah? Become humble. Why do I speak about other people? Because perhaps in speaking about other people, by putting down other people, it empowers me. And perhaps there is this need to feel empowered, to feel better. And therefore, maybe what we need to do is to engage in humility, to not have this need to have to be raised up at the expense of someone else. And when I look at this, both on an individual and on a collective level, it seems that what the Torah is doing is telling us, if you want to be holy, don't focus on the other and separate yourself and constantly look at what's negative about the other in order to make yourself positive, but focus on how to actively make yourself better. Focus on your humility. Make room for the other. Try to empower the other. And the law of Lashon Hara, of evil speech, as I said, is part of a larger context of interpersonal laws in this parsha, all of which are trying to make us a holy people by empowering others rather than putting down the other. By empowering ourselves relative to ourselves, but not at the expense of the other. Let me add one more point in terms of Lashon Hara. Maimonides makes a point which is based on the Talmud, which is actually counterintuitive. So that if we go back to the reference that I gave you, look at number 3, reference 3, subsection 3. This is towards the end of the section. Furthermore, the rabbi said, there are 3 people that Lashon Hara kills. The one who says it, the one who hears it, and then the one about whom it is said. And the one who hears it, and this is my insertion, is accountable more than the one who says it. It is very clear to us that the object of evil speech is hurt by it. And there's no need to elaborate. It is also perhaps obvious that the one who says it is doing something which is very, very negative. And I might even add parenthetically, is not only harming the person who they speak about, but in a way harming themselves. Because what it does is to cultivate the worst in them. But what's striking, what's mind-boggling, is the one who listens. The one who listens is passive. Did not do anything. Why are they seen as being more accountable than the one who said it? On a very basic level, one can say, if there were no one to listen, then nobody would say it. Which means that the sayer needs the listener in order to be able to say his speech. And so that to a great extent, the listener plays an integral role here. But it goes far beyond that. The listener is somebody who ultimately may act upon what he hears. And in fact, it may very well be the case that the reason why the person says it is in order to motivate the one who is listening to act. And again, if I come back to what I mentioned earlier, this is the core of propaganda. The role of propaganda is to motivate those who hear to act. and very often to act in a very vicious way. So what does that say to us? It says to us that whenever we hear something, we need to be critical listeners. We need to be very, very careful and selective as to what we hear. We need to be very, very careful to not jump to conclusions. On that note, I would just say, parenthetically, the same is true of my podcast, or any class. Whenever you hear something, and I think at the core, whenever I teach something, I always say to people, don't just listen to what I say. Check it out. Look at the sources. Look at other things. Challenge. Don't just hear something and then accept it, but analyze it. Be critical. One of the things which I find astounding is that people tend to be very, very critical when they hear words of Torah and are constantly arguing and challenging, and yet all of a sudden become believers and accept on faith anything which was written in the New York Times or some other well-known newspaper. I think that the laws of Lashon Hara are teaching us that we need to recognize the power of our speech. It is a power which can go in either direction. On the one hand, through our speech, we have the ability to sanctify, to elevate. We have the ability to be godlike in the same way God created the world through speech. In the same way, sacrifices are dedicated through speech. In the same way, when we pray, our words of prayer can be cathartic, can be elevating. We also need to acknowledge how our speech can very easily degenerate and how our speech can ultimately bring about death and destruction. There is a rabbinic comment which says, life and death are in the hand of the tongue. Which do we do? As it says in Psalms, who is the man who seeks life? Nitzor lishoncha meira, hold back your tongue from evil. That is the thrust of our verse. But I would add to that, do not just hold back your tongue from evil, but make a concerted effort to have your tongue speak good. The Torah is not just about, how do I restrict myself? The Torah is about, how do I expand? How do I express? But what we need to know are the boundaries. When to express, when to hold back. What in the end will promote life? What in the end will bring about destruction? As I mentioned earlier, in my mind, this is perhaps one of the most difficult mitzvot to observe, because it forces a person to have to really take themselves seriously at every moment to think about, what are they saying? Why are they saying it? What in the end? Who is listening? And what in the end will result from their words? May we constantly engage this struggle and hopefully use words that will heal and empower and bring about a world of peace and understanding. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.